欢迎回到美国之音的焦点对话节目。美国总统拜登上任百日以来，他如何处理中国和俄罗斯这两个大国的关系，成为外界关注的焦点。今晚的焦点对话节目的下半场，我们为您请到曾经先后担任克林顿总统以及小布什总统驻中国以及俄罗斯大使馆的资深外交官方大为 Mr. David Feierstein， 就拜登上任百日来的外交政策发表他的个人看法。方大为先生在任职美国国务院期间也负责经济政策和香港事务，他现在是乔治布什美中关系基金会的总裁。下面我们就来看专访内容。
Mr. Feierstein, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
So first of all, I would like to ask for your overall assessment of Biden's presidency so far. Are we now clearer about what is so-called Bidenism?
Well, I think we are. I mean, it's still early in the administration, but we are at day 100. And I think some of the contours of what President Biden stands for in terms of foreign policy are evident. For one thing, obviously, there's a huge emphasis on multilateralism and on working with allies and with friends and with partners in a much more concerted way on a whole host of global issues than we saw during the 4 years of the Trump presidency. During the Trump years, we often saw the U.S. president speaking negatively about U.S. allies in a way that was very different from anything we'd seen before. And I think we're back to normalcy in that regard. I think the tonality of the rhetoric and the language that the president of the United States now uses, now that it's President Biden, is very different from that of his predecessor. I think the emphasis on fact-based policy deliberation and policy formulation is much stronger than it was under the Trump administration, where in some cases we clearly had U.S. policy being formulated on the basis of fiction, not fact. Yeah. And so I think these elements of what might be called Bidenism are starting to emerge, and I think are represent a significant change and shift relative to the preceding administration.
And also, Mr. Feierstein, in your diplomatic career, you served at the U.S. embassies in both Beijing and Moscow. So what's your take on President Biden's policy on China and Russia? Which country, in your opinion, is our biggest threat for now?
Well, I think, first of all, I think both China and Russia are unquestionably, and by any objective measure, the two individual countries in the world that present the greatest potential challenges, and in some cases, real challenges and present challenges for the United States as individual countries. And I think that's been true for a number of decades now. And I think as we kind of get to the 20-year mark of the anniversary of 9/11, a lot of the foreign policy establishment is starting to say what some of us have been saying for the last 15 or 20 years, which is that our focus as a nation really needs to be on these two countries to a much greater degree than it has been over the last 20 years. Of the two, I don't think there's any question but that China is the most formidable, the more formidable competitor and the most formidable competitor that the United States faces today and that we will face in the lifetime of every living American. And that's simply because China is a massive economy. It is a massive technology powerhouse. It is a country that views the world very differently than the United States, but it has incredible capacity, especially in its economy and especially in sectors that matter to the U.S. economy. And it presents, I think, much more of a challenge to the United States long term, even than Russia.
And also, President Biden brought a China policy to the White House based on three C's. We can see cooperate where we can, compete where we should, and confront with where we must. What do you think of his 3C strategy on China?
Well, first of all, I think it's a good articulation of a policy and a mindset toward China that really, I think, has existed for quite some time. I think the phraseology is actually pretty clever. That's another C, if I can use to describe that. And I think it's right. I mean, there are areas where we need to where we should cooperate because it's in our interest to do so. There are a bunch of areas where we are competing and should compete. And where the United States should seek to outcompete China. And there certainly may be areas as we go forward where there is an element of confrontation, not that the United States or China is seeking it out, and certainly not that the United States is seeking it out, But I don't think that this the United States will shy away from confrontation where that is necessary. So I think it's a good articulation of the way that the United States is approaching China. I think it captures the different elements of this relationship. The U.S.-China relationship is not something that I think can be described with one word. There are multiple facets to it. And I think that this articulation of the three C's, if you will, captures that in a way that's accurate, in a way that's thoughtful, and that I think gives expression to the notion that we need to be able to do multiple things with China at the same time. And so I think it's essentially on the mark.
There were probably three face-to-face meetings between China and U.S. during President Biden's first 100 days. Of course, the first is Alaska meeting, and then John Kerry's trip to China, and then the virtual climate summit where President Biden and Xi Jinping both show up at the same big screen to talk to the world leaders, to show them leadership at the same forum. How is President Biden's scorecard so far, in your opinion, vis-a-vis Mr. Xi Jinping?
Well, first of all, I think it's good to see that the United States and China are engaging each other again at high levels. And obviously, it doesn't get higher than the presidents appearing at the same event, although we'll see how that moves forward in terms of bilateral, substantive bilateral engagements. But I think it's good that our two countries, the number one and number two economies in the world and major powerhouses in the world, are engaging at high levels, whether that's the Secretary of State, whether that's the National Security Advisor as in Anchorage, or whether that's Secretary John Kerry going over and talking about climate. And I think that's positive. I think it would be naive to expect that we'd see significant results or breakthroughs after a few meetings about 100 days into the administration. But I do think that these meetings set the foundation for future engagement that I hope will be substantive and results-oriented, and that can move the ball forward on some of the issues that are on the U.S.-China agenda. So, you know, I would give the Biden administration, you know, fairly good marks at this stage for, you know, being thoughtful, being strategic, engaging, but certainly giving expression to our values, and trying to get the relationship to a place that works better for America, which really should be the only metric that we care about.
People actually wondered whether President Biden would reverse President Trump's policy on China before his inauguration. But so far, it turned out that President Biden pretty much continued President Trump's hard stance on China. What is your observations on that?
Well, first of all, I think you're right. I think so far, there really hasn't been any major departure in terms of U.S.-China policy relative to the preceding administration. Everything that was on the books prior to January 20th basically remains on the books as U.S. policy. And we have not seen the kind of night and day change in U.S. Mindset or U.S. policy toward China that we have seen in other areas of U.S. policy, where President Biden initiated 180-degree changes in certain areas, whether it's the climate accord, the Paris Climate Accord, the Iran negotiations, the Keystone Pipeline, or any number of other areas. So, yes, we see a lot of continuity. Where I do think we see the change is not so much in the substance of U.S. policy at this point, but in the tonality, in the way that this president talks, in the way
the style
that
and approach.
The style, the language, we don't hear words like, quote, the China plague or Kung flu, unquote, the kinds of reprehensible and racially charged and racist language that President Trump used regularly. And generally, we just see a less juvenile and more mature style of communication. We also see, I think, a greater tendency to base policy on fact rather than fiction. One example, you know, one thing that we saw during the Trump years that I hope will be undone over some point in the early in the Biden administration is the fact that when President Trump levied tariffs on incoming Chinese imports, he said that it was China that was paying for the tariffs. And of course, that was demonstrably, empirically, factually false. And I hope that over time, this administration will go toward a more fact-based approach toward these matters. So we do see some differences. And over time, I think we will see some changes in substantive policies as well.
Let's talk about Taiwan. CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, have recently listed a possible military conflict between the U.S. and China over Taiwan as a tier one top potential crisis. We have seen four U.S. Navy warships sailing through the Taiwan Strait during the past 3 months. And also Taiwan was the number one issue at the recent U.S.-Japan summit. How urgent do you think the situation there, and what should U.S. do about it, Mr. Firestone?
Well, a couple of things. One, I have long said that of all the issues in the world where you could theoretically really see major international conflagration, that a scenario between the mainland and Taiwan is probably toward the very top of the list, maybe at the top of the list. But that's at the theoretical level, and that's because there is a really fundamental difference there. There is some fundamental tension. There are powerful mm-hmm. players involved and so forth and so on. But in reality, in the here and now and for the foreseeable future, I fall into the camp that says that while it is true that that issue is theoretically a very serious issue and potentially the source of major conflagration, in the immediate term and in the foreseeable future, I don't think we are going to see it come to blows for one simple reason. And that is that I don't think the mainland is looking at Taiwan and seeing a calculus and seeing a cost-benefit analysis that it generates a cost to retaking Taiwan that would be acceptable to the leadership of the mainland. And as long as that is true, the mainland is not going to seek to use force to take over Taiwan. I also believe there is no sentiment in Taiwan that favors any real and significant sentiment that favors reunification. And it's not going to happen out of the free volition or free will of the people of Taiwan, 23.5 million people who are there. So it's going to boil down to whether China is willing to use force or not. In my judgment, China does not now and will not soon regard the cost of that as being worth it in terms of the end objective.
Finally, is there anything you want to add? Maybe give us your overall assessment of U.S.-China relations for the next 100 days?
Well, I think it's going to be basically more of the same. I think we're going to see some changes in the tonality, some changes in the way that we engage China as a nation. I hope and believe we'll probably see some additional high-level engagement here and there amongst mm-hmm. various members of the cabinet. But I don't think we're going to see any sea change during this next 100 days in terms of U.S. policy toward China. I don't think we're going to see a black and white difference. And I think that for the foreseeable future, the Biden administration's approach to China is going to look very recognizable relative to the approach of the Trump administration. One thing I really do hope to see, though, is this. I think it is a good time for some confidence building. I would like to see the consulates mm-hmm. restored to full operations, the consulates in Houston and Chengdu, respectively. I'd like mm-hmm. to see a restoration of the Fulbright program. I'd like to see a restoration of the U.S. Peace Corps presence in China. I'd like to see, on a more substantive note, the termination of all Trump-era tariffs on both sides, both the United States and China. Get rid of these self-destructive, job-killing tariffs that have been horrible for America and get back to where we were before. And I should note, it was under Trump that we hit the all-time record for the U.S. Average annual merchandise deficit with China. Let's get moving back in the other direction and get our countries focused again on actually how to solve problems. So I'm hopeful that we'll start to see some progress, but it's going to be a long haul.
Mr. Feinstein, thank you so much. I have so many questions to ask, but you know, we have limited time. But thank you so much for speaking with Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Always an honor. Thank you.
好的，我们非常感谢今晚听众观众朋友的收听和收看。提醒您，来宾发表的是个人观点，不代表美国之音。我是樊东宁，祝各位平安，我们下次节目再会。